If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword LoveSport.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts and Guy Barlow. For the next hour, it is Fulham and Fulham only. Coming up on the show this evening, we'll be reviewing the Reading game, reviewing the Wigan game, because hasn't Fulham's form just peaked in the right direction? 3 successive draws, now 2 strong wins against Wigan and that thrashing 4-1 of Reading last night. We'll be doing the three-word reviews, the traditional three-word reviews, and getting the fallout from both games and what Dom and Guy thought of those games. As always, the listener questions, and then we'll be looking towards that crunch clash with Charlton on the weekend, who are in great form themselves. They are playing Swansea tonight and it's currently 1-1, so we will be keeping our eyes on that game as we go. But let's start with the game against Reading, because it was 4-1. Dom, I just want to add, Guy, I want to tell you something here. I spoke to Dom yesterday about this game.
I knew you'd bring this up, mate.
Yeah, well, I think it's only fair, you know, because I've got a lot of respect for Guy, that he knows this. And that's what I do on this show, Guy. It's honesty.
I'm ready.
I said, I'm really excited for this one tonight. You know, Fulham got that win on the weekend. I think they're going to win tonight. I'm really up for it. I really strongly fancy Fulham. Dom, typical Dom Betts fashion. No, mate, no, it's not going to happen. We don't have good form against Reading. We've not beaten 6 games at Reading. No, mate, don't back Fulham. We don't do well there. And it really hurt, Guy. I'm not going to lie. It was sort of a kick to the stomach that I wasn't wanting. I wasn't ready for it. It really got me down. Lo and behold, 4-1. What does Dom know?
Well,
don't say you agree with him.
No, to be fair to Dom, like, we haven't won there in the last 6 times, and we spanked them at home like 5-0 in the failed playoff season, and then they beat us in the playoffs that year. So I think they were desperate for a bit of a rivalry with us, and it was like it was disappointing that we hadn't won there. But so it makes it all the better last night. Go to the empty place.
Ooh.
And absolutely smash them.
Yeah, it's always nice to beat a team that's retired the shirt number 12 and or dedicated it to the fans, because that's what Reading have done, haven't they, Dom? But let's talk about the game. How pleased were you? Because it has been a run of results at Reading where you haven't got the result you wanted. But dare I say it, Fulham, even if it has been 2 games, and let's be honest, it's 5 games unbeaten now with those 3 successive draws, they've hit a bit of run of form, haven't they, Dom?
Yeah, I think we have hit form, and I don't necessarily think we're hitting form at the right time. It's we needed to hit form at this time more than anything. These 3 games before the international break, so we spoke about Wigan, we spoke about Reading, we spoke about Charlton. Last week, I said to you that, you know, it needs to be 9 points, and 7 at the absolute minimum. I said 7 if you're challenging for top 6, 9 if you want to challenge for the top 2, and we've got, you know, 6 out of 9 so far. It's not like I wasn't confident going into the game yesterday, but
here he goes. Backtrack.
It was hard.
Reverse lights.
It was hard to see us putting a performance like that. I didn't see it coming personally, and I think that it's maybe to do with how many times I've just had a bad experience watching Fulham at Reading. You know, I'm thinking there was a 3-3 in 2012, 2013. I can't remember what year it was. You know, we went 3-2 up in the 89th minute, and then how Robson Kanu still ended up scoring an equaliser for them. I think Gareth McCleary got on the goal sheet as well. Obviously, we had the 3-0 loss in, what was that, 14-15, I believe it was.
Matt Smith's first game
gets sent off. So, yeah, and then obviously the playoff loss, you know, the games in the fog, and then the rescheduled one which we lost. So
Chris Martin missed the penalty at the last minute.
Yeah, so for me,
not it's all good. Bad memories.
Yeah, it really is.
But if we're going on to the game, I think one of the best things yesterday, not necessarily we scored four goals, it was how quickly we were winning the ball back. Because it's not like Reading didn't have any of the ball and didn't have time. They did get the ball in attacking areas, but the likes of Harry Arter and Stephen Johansson and our defenders were winning the ball back very well. And I think that was the most important thing, because a lot of the times we've seen that whenever the opposition go forward, they quite often score. I think, you know, still, I think the stat is we've 40% of the shots we faced have gone in. And I think that's what impressed me most yesterday was that we were playing and we were winning the ball back when we didn't have the ball, and then we're getting the ball into the right area. So we looked a lot more fluid, I think, yesterday than we did against Wigan, because Wigan was a convincing performance, but it was convincing because Wigan didn't offer anything. I still thought Reading were trying to, you know, attack in turn stage yesterday. There was that Bettinelli save, which he made, obviously, straight away. So, yeah, I'm happy with how yesterday went, and, you know, bring it on into the Saturday game against Charlton this weekend.
Well, it seems like the momentum is with Fulham. They got those two back-to-back wins. Can I ask about the win then? Because earlier on Love Sport Drive, you know, the Posh Boys and Drive, you can listen every day, by the way, 3-7. They said, what's coming up tonight? I said, obviously, the Fulham fan show, two back to back wins. I feel like, you know, I saw the game last night, I felt like Fulham were, for me, I don't want to say starting to click like they haven't previously in the season, but it just feels like the football that I was seeing, I thought was very good from Fulham, you know, fluid, free-flowing attacking football, the movements that was coming up, one-touch passes, all the goals, you know, we'll get into that, were well-taken goals. And Johnny Burrow, and it was no disrespect to Fulham, by the way, I've got a lot of time and a lot of respect for Johnny Burrow, but he said, yeah, but this is what Fulham do, it was against Reading, you know, he said, don't say they're clicking, you know, they clicked against Millwall, it was 4-0, they've done it against Reading, can they do it next week? And they do it week after. And I felt that was maybe a little bit harsh, because you can only beat what's in front of you, and you did pull apart Reading. All right, maybe not the strongest team in the Championship, but you are on this run. Guy, was Johnny right there, or what do you make of that?
I think that Millwall result was probably like an outlier to how good we can be, and it came early in the season. And then we lost the following game at home to Forest, which isn't looking like the worst result in the world. Obviously, I know a home loss is a bad result, but Forest are right up there. You know, they're a good team. It's not look like when we first lost them, it was like, oh, how have we lost to this, you know, mess of a club for the past few years? But it's actually, we've come into five games unbeaten now. Like you said, 3-1-1 draws, and three of those games have been away from home as well. So if we can get a win at home to Charlton on Saturday, and then we're playing Stoke away, who are the worst team in the Championship. So that should be like four. It should be, fingers crossed, four wins in a row right there. And then we've got then we've got Luton at home, five wins in a row. Like the fixtures,
it can snowball can't it?
Yeah, and as we know in this division, it's one of the oldest things about it. Like three wins in a row, you can go right up there. And I know we were saying last week you don't want to rely on like a run of form like that, but fixture computer's been nice to us, and we've got teams who are all beatable, and I think that's helping. You know, like, winning's a habit, and we to say we're not clicking, it's probably, but we're still winning games, you know. Like, it's
that's almost a bigger compliment
isn't
it?
Yeah.
But it is a big game on the weekend, because it is Charlton, and they beat Leeds, and now they play Swansea tonight. Although Swansea, let me tell you, have just scored. As I said it, I was going to say Charlton could be beating Leeds and Swansea, but no, it's Swansea have taken the lead. IU has scored there to put Swansea 2-1 up. Charlton did take the lead in that game very early on, Lecco in the second minute, but Swansea would take the lead. Don, we know what you two think. I think it's only fair, it is time for those three word reviews on the game against Reading last night.
We'll start off with our very own Cam Ramsey.
Oh, Cam Ram.
The man. Brutal Berkshire bloodbath.
Ooh.
Lovely bit of alliteration there for Mr. Cam.
I've got to say,
classic Cam.
Yeah, you've got to do alliteration, I think.
Vintage Cam Ramsey.
Yeah, in the free word
as one would say. Although, you know, is brutal a big enough adjective for someone like Cam Ramsey?
Probably not.
We probably need some bigger ones in there. With Fulham Arto, with Fulham Royal Rumble. I mean, a Dale with Reading Swift exit, obviously referring to the red card for Reading Swift. Rokas with Kearney's Royal Weldies. Dan Winter with the Royals Flushed. DMFFC with Better Than Bayern, and Stuart Holtgren with Kearney's Majeski Masterpiece.
I love it. We're getting a little bit of alliteration. Majeski's Masterpiece. It's all going well for Fulham at the minute. if we're not clicking and we're not in top gear right at the minute, is that, I feel like that's a stronger message to the rest of the Championship, Guy, because, you know, again, it's no disrespect to Reading. You did pull them apart. It was four goals. We've seen it earlier on in the league. You're starting to convert those chances. We always know Fulham. It was 70-odd percent possession in the game last night. 73, I think it was. If they're not clicking yet, is it scary how good Fulham can be? Because we knew they can reach this level. They just wasn't performing to it as of yet.
Yeah, I think it was pointed out last night. Well, I was reminded of it. The fact that our squad is like, was made. We made like three changes last night. I think we brought in Arsa and Odoi, and you know, still won. Like our squad is top two, three squads. Like these kind of results. Yes, obviously winning 4-1 away from home is an anomaly, but beating Reading shouldn't be. You know, we should be beating Reading, and our squad should be challenging for the top two. Like that's a matter of fact. We spoke about it. Like if we don't go up, it's a failure given our squads, and that holds true 10 games into the season.
You can argue even if we don't get the top two, it could be deemed as a failure looking at our squad. I mean, if we end up getting promotion through the playoffs, then great, another win at Wembley. But you know, our team shouldn't have to be scrapping through the playoffs for this. I mean, we should be aiming for the top two and hopefully getting in there, because you look at the likes of Mitrovic, especially, he's definitely Premier League quality. Then you look at like Knockaert, Caviero, Harry Arter, Tom Kearney. I understand they're in that bracket of are they Championship or are they Premier League, but if they're in that bracket, that means they should be the best players in the league. So for me, this team is finally getting into their stride, and people have stopped calling for, you know, people were calling for Scott Parker's head at one stage. And
ridiculous.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, some football fans assume there's this magic wand when a new manager comes in, it's going to fix something. It's still the same players, it's still the same club, so it's not going to fix any of your problems. I said yesterday, I thought we were very good at winning the ball back, and I think that's something we haven't been good at in recent seasons. I think we've been quite weak in the middle of the park. I think the system we're playing now, we spoke about it last week, actually, Charlie, about having a balanced side.
Mm.
And I think ever since Bobby Reid's been taken out of the centre of the park, and he obviously played out wide last night, I think we just need that more balanced midfield. If you have like Arter and Johansson, or Reid and Johansson, or Reid and Arter, let's say, you have the legs providing midfield to allow Kearney to do what he does better. If there isn't those legs in midfield, and you've got someone like Bobby Reid, I think it sort of harms Kearney's game in that way. I think Kearney works best when he is the focal attacking midfielder out of the three. I think if there's another one in there, he feels like he might need to drop deeper. Yes, he can play the deeper role better. That's why he played in the Premier League last season. But for me, I think that we just need that balanced midfield. We need the legs to allow Kearney to do what he did last night. And you saw that with two more goals from outside the box.
Is Scott Parker then starting to realise his best starting 11, what his best formation is? We feel like now we're sort of finding where the groove is.
Well, obviously, this weekend it was a Friday, Tuesday. So he did swap out, brought in Harry Arter into midfield. He didn't start the last two games, actually. But no, I just wanted to pick up on what Dom said about, like, Kearney, and particularly Johansson's been playing well this season as well.
Yeah,
I
last
thought.
Two games have been very impressive.
Yeah, which is a bit of a surprise, because when we signed Harry Arter, everyone just assumed, you know, that's it for Johansson. He's going to be probably a bit part player for the rest of the year. But, and because he wasn't a bit of a downward trend from even when we went up via the playoffs, he started most games that year, but there were suggestions that goals were masking very bad performances from him. And obviously for a part of that season he was playing by himself in that field, the famous away at Sunderland false nine, for example. Like, and I think he was probably just knackered, but now he spent some time away from the club at West Brom last season in the Championship, and you know, like he's not playing for himself, he's playing for Kearney basically, and therefore playing for the team. So I think he's playing a lot better this year.
Let me quickly ask, because we did speak about this last week, Dom, you know, how Fulham, it was 12 points from 8 games. You know, those next 3 games are crucial. We need to go 9 out of 9, if not 7 out of 9. And Guy said it there. You get 2-3 wins in this league already. Now you're back in the playoffs. You're only 3 points off top. It's how quickly it can turn around. It almost highlights the fact that sometimes from fans, you know, calling for Scott Parker's head, we can have a knee-jerk reaction, can't we? Already those back-to-back wins, you're up there. You get that result on the weekend. Who knows where other results may go? You could be joint top. It's just how quickly this Championship can change, can't it, Dom?
Well, yeah. Let's say we beat Charlton on the weekend, and we could even be top if other teams lose, or we could be 1 or 2 points off the top. We could go from, you know, going into the first international break 5th or 6th, but okay, we're doing okay. Then we drop to what, 10th halfway through the month, then we finish season 3rd. It just shows you the Championship and how just got to stay calm and relax. And, you know, it's about, you know, it's only, what, 10 games or so into the season now. So you need to analyse your squad. It's only a quarter of the way through, if that. So I think that Scott Boggs understanding his squad a lot more now. Because, yes, there's still a lot of players there from 17, 18 who got us up, but Scott Parker will know very well. But there's a lot of new players in there. You know, you're thinking of Reed, you're thinking of Arto, you're thinking of Knockhart, you're thinking of Caviero. You know, there are a lot of Bobby Reed, there are a lot of new players in here, and you just got to work out who's best where. And I think, you know, although, and I think one thing last night is we were getting the ball into the right position a lot of the time. We've been sort of criticising us sort of passing it sideways, I guess you can say, and, you know, not creating enough. We actually got the ball in the right areas, but there was a lot of times last night where we get the ball out wide, they drive into the middle, and then they'd be looking for the cross to someone at the back post where they could have just lasered it into the far post bottom corner, and they probably would have scored. So I think we're getting there with it. And I think I'm not saying more direct, but we weren't faffing around the ball in the middle of the park a lot of the time last night. We were looking to get the ball forward and we were looking to score more goals, and that's great to see.
I think a big part of it is what you just mentioned. You know, it does take time. There were new signings. They need to, you know, gel together, get their chemistry. Scott Parker had to work out what was his best lineup. It seems like it's now, if not clicking, working, trending in the right direction. The game where it all started was the Wigan victory on the weekend. Next, we're going to be talking all about that.
Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts and Guy Barlow. And you can have your say on everything where Fulham is concerned. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. Just very, very quickly, there is Championship games going on tonight and they do concern Fulham and Champions League and, well, Liverpool. They lost to Napoli in Champions League Game 1. They were flying, cruising tonight against Salzburg 3-0. I can just tell you it is now Liverpool 3, Salzburg 3. Chelsea are drawing 1-1. Another good result maybe for where Fulham are going. Concerned. And QPR, after that four-game winning streak, lost to West Brom on the weekend. They are now losing to Cardiff 3-0. What is going wrong? Well, Fulham won't care because we're talking all about the result on the weekend, which kick-started their good form. It was Wigan. They beat them. Dom, let's kick us off with a three-word reviews.
We have BC Brown with return of Steph Joe. Lewis Henderson with keep your wig on. You like that one, don't you, Charlie?
I do.
Chris Blackman with Kearney's consummate class. Christian Leidberg with knee slides galore. And Tom Kerr knee slide. I mean, just any knee slide is just, you know, got to keep it in there. But keep your wig on. There you go.
That's one that's going to be a highlight for me. Keep your wig on. I do.
That's four words.
No, they put Wigan as...
Oh, come
Wigan
on.
Is one
oh,
word.
Come on. It's, Guy, you're not a fan of that?
No, it's four words. It's a three-word review.
But Wigan, you know, Wigan, one word.
Yeah. It's a play on words.
It's still four words.
All right, Guy. Okay, we'll agree to disagree, but I do understand where you're coming from. Let's talk about that Wigan game. Just in terms of the performance, I know, you know, because Wigan the week before that, they beat Charlton, so they would have been up for it. They wanted another London scalp. This felt like, to me, a professional performance that Fulham needed. Just went about the job. Maybe nothing extremely flashy, but it ended that five-game winless run. How pleased were you with it, Guy?
Yeah, I actually thought the first half was pretty boring, you know?
You're not wrong. I said that at half-time.
Tell it how it is, Guy. I love it.
I'm going to say half-time. I mean 35 minutes down in the concourse.
That is your half-time.
Yeah, that is my half-time. 35 minutes to 55 minutes. That's my half-time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when did we score? Like 48 minutes, something like that? Like,
it was right at the start, then right at the end, weren't it?
Yeah. I thought that Wigan were quite compact.
They definitely came here with a game plan.
Yeah, yeah. I thought... their left back was their best player. Yeah.
Actually, to be fair, I mean, a bit weird of a team playing into any game without a game plan. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, what Newcastle don't seem.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
Steve Bruce. Yeah, sorry, Guy.
Yeah, but as soon as we scored, it was pretty routine. And it's going to go, if anyone who wasn't there is going to look down and see Fulham 2 Wigan 0 and think, oh yeah, easy. And it was easy, that they didn't threaten, but it was a bit turgid in the first half.
But that's what I mean by professional. You stuck at it, because these are the games sometimes where Fulham, you know, West Brom have got back into it, Sheffield Wednesday have got back into it, you know, just going about their business, getting the run, because sometimes teams are going to be compact, you know. They're playing at Fulham. We know the football that they can play. I don't want to say Wigan were out to survive or get a point, but sometimes those teams are harder to break down, aren't they?
Yeah, and Wigan have got a hilariously bad away record as well.
Especially our place as well.
Yeah, yes, yes. I think we're on the best winning run against them out of any team
in
the football league.
Beating us in any,
I love a stat like that.
17 or 18 games.
Yeah, they haven't been in any competition since 2006, I believe.
Oof.
And we've played them a lot because we were in the Premier League at the same time. We've been in the Championship together. So, yeah, that's not one of those stats.
And we just
where,
about
like,
kept that record going when we played Wigan in the Championship last time. I think it was 3-3. I think it was on the beginning of November, because I remember everyone had been to like a Halloween-related night out the night before. So there was a few worse wear people in your way in that day. But, yeah, I think McCormack got sent off and we scored a penalty in the last minute. I want to say maybe Brian Ruiz scored it.
Yeah, Brian Ruiz definitely did score that day. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. What a day.
What a bloke.
What a day. How key has Tom Kearney been? Because a lot of people will look to Mitrovic, Tony Knockers, you know, maybe other names before they talk about him. I know he scored in the past few games, but just as almost like the key piece that keeps the game ticking over, you know, he's so crucial to Fulham, I feel. Is that a fair thing to say, Dom?
If Fulham play really well, Kearney's going to be one of the players who's down to that, because I think that what he does is he is that link between the midfield and the attack. And I think, as we said earlier, we need the legs in midfield to allow him to do his best, because he is in that bracket of too good for the Championship. Is he good enough for Premier League? I think he's good enough for the Premier League. I don't think there's a doubt about that. I think the biggest problem is he was playing under Claudio Ranieri last season, and he was playing him out on the right wing at times, so in like a 5-2-2-1. So I think that, for me, Kearney is good enough for the Premier League. There's no doubt about that. You've shown that from the goals he scored this season. Two identical left foot, 20 yards out, straight into the top right-hand corner. Pretty much all three goals being pretty much identical. And then that lovely dink over the Wigan goalkeeper yesterday. So he is good enough. He's starting to show it again. You know, what's he got, three or four goals now?
Four goals.
Yeah, and he only got one last season. But for me, he's playing in a team that suits the way he plays. I'm not saying he has to. But if a manager's going to play a player like Kearney, trying to play him in an industrious role in the middle of the park, it just isn't going to work. So for me, yeah, Kearney is pivotal to any success we do have this season. He is our captain. He is probably our most technically gifted player, and I'd argue you can look at Knockout and look at Caviero, but I think when it comes to all-round technical ability, you just can't look past Tom Kearney.
Yeah, I really feel like he's coming to the fore. Guy, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's that stat, that he's already scored four goals this season and only one last season.
And we're just in October.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty telling. I think, like, obviously, scoring twice last night, that's the first time he scored a brace for Fulham, I believe, and certainly the first time he scored a brace in a good few years. So
there's no reason why he couldn't reach 12, is there? Eight away.
He's done it before.
Yeah.
He's done the double goals, double assists in the Championship, which is like the sign of a really top player, isn't it?
I think so too, yeah.
And it's good to have goals coming from everywhere as well, because obviously now Mitrovic was, I think, four games without a goal until last night and got himself a couple of tap-ins, and now is now the top scorer in the Championship. And our goal difference, I know it's almost silly to think about goal difference this early on, but it's looking healthy. Mm. You know, 4-1, 4-0 against Millwall earlier in the season, and, you know, every little helps, isn't it?
Is goal difference something you keep your eye on as fans, you know, because you'd like to think that you get enough points where it won't matter, but we've seen so many times it can come down to things like this, you know, the difference between maybe the playoff place in the automatics or just being outside into the playoffs. Dom, do you think, you know, it's a stat that you do need to keep an eye out for, but if it does come down to it, Fulham should well be in front?
I think what goal difference does at this stage of the season is actually it helps breed a positive mental attitude within the squad, because it means you could be on the same points as four other teams, but you're going to be at the top of that pile. So if you could be third as opposed to seventh, and you may be on the same points and had exactly the same results, but you're getting more goals and it just puts you higher up in the table. So I think it makes you feel more positive about where you are. And I think come to the end of the season, yes, it is important, but I think at this stage, it just helps you see your place in the league as a much more positive one as opposed to a negative one. Because let's say we were on the same points as three other teams and our goal difference wasn't as good, it was only maybe positive one, then we'd be like three or four places down. So I think it just helped breed that positive attitude within the squad mentally.
I completely agree. Let me pose this question to you, because I know you two never shy away from being honest about your football team, whether it win, lose or draw. It's one of the things I enjoy about this show. It has been two back-to-back wins, but what of the things that have A, pleased you that you maybe weren't doing at the start of the seasons, and B, even in those wins, you can still find flaws. What still concerns you and that we still need to work on at this stage? I'll throw it to Guy first.
I think, going on from what I just mentioned, the fact that the goals are coming from all over, and the fact that Kearney seems fit, and we've got...
So most fit he's looked probably since 16-17.
Yes, yeah, definitely, I agree.
Since the playoff loss to Reading.
He's had like the foot and hamstring problems since then. So that's a real positive. I think the wingers are a real positive. Cavalera's been one of our better players this season, and he was put on the bench last night. And I thought Bobby Reid did well in Knockhart's quality. So, you know, there's no shortage of quality out wide. It's good to see Adoy come in there as well.
Of course you would. Of course you say that, mate.
Mate,
next, you just want to bring Fabry back from Mallorca now, don't you?
Got John Swift sent off, didn't he, Adoy? Drew the second yellow.
Classic gamesmanship.
Yeah, I love it. But moving on to maybe some negatives. Mm. I think, as Dom said, that stat about conceding 40% of shots we face... I think that stat is a little bit loaded. We don't receive that many shots in the first place, you know, because we're a good team and we have the ball the majority of the time.
The basis is getting Serge Gnabry.
Yes, the expected goals. Dom's favourite subject. I think Bayern's expected goals last night were only like two or something like that.
They had pretty much the same amount of shots on goal to Spurs, and I think, you know, that is one point the guy talks about, is it's not defensively like our defence is bad. I just feel like the team, the way we defend, I don't know, I feel like...
Is this also your negative then as well?
I don't necessarily think it's my negative. My negative is that we seem to get the ball moving into the right position, but we never create the chance from that position. We get the ball out wide, and then we don't seem to... We then pass it back into the middle. I feel like sometimes when Tim Ream's got the ball or Mawson's got the ball, that instead of passing it to Arthur, Reed or Johansson or whoever, play it to the next man. Play it to the wide player, you know. Get it into Kearney. I think sometimes we're too slow to get the ball from one end of the pitch to the other. Then it is one of our biggest issues. And then by the time we get there, you know, we're playing a team who's playing 8-0-2. Then it's going to be hard to, you know, penetrate their defence. But I think, yeah, I mean, there is loads of positives from the last two games. I think, as Guy said, Tom Kearney's return. I think the midfield is looking a lot more balanced. I think with when it was probably Reed and Kearney, it just didn't work. You were too heavy reliant on the deep line play and Harrison Reed to be doing too much. Yes, he completely dictated the game against Forest, let's say, and West Brom, but not Forest, I mean just West Brom. I think, yeah, because Jake Livermore was completely out of the game in that game. So I think, yeah, for me, the positive this season in the last couple of games has been the emergence of our midfield. But I also think, for me, it's all about just keeping this sort of balanced team ethic going. And I think that's been one of the best things. But yeah, I do think, I'm not saying more clinical. We just need to create more chances from the positions we're getting the ball into.
Well, it's always good to be clinical of your own performance, even when you are winning, things you can work on. They were your Reading and Wigan previews. We will look at that Charlton game because they're in action tonight. Fulham will be full of confidence going into that London clash on the weekend. Next, though, it is a fan's favourite. If it's not a fan's favourite, it's certainly my favourite on this Fulham fan show. It is listener questions.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts and Guy Barlow. Just very quickly, because we have come to the favourite section of the evening. Liverpool have retaken that lead at Anfield. It is 4-3 against Salzburg. What a classic that is. A seven-goal thriller. Talking of seven goals, I think a German side put one past the North London team last night in the Champions League. I'm not quite sure which one, but I haven't caught up with all the action. I was here at Love Sport. I will find out, I'm sure, soon. It is time for listener questions on the Fulham Fan Show. We will kick them off. This one is from Lawrence Craven at LA Craven. What business do you expect to do in January? In particular, who do you think will leave in January? I think we should start looking soon because we want to avoid disappointment.
I don't think anyone's going to leave unless it's like a really out there. I can see maybe Cyrus Christie heading off because he's now...
K-Mac.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if K-Mac, he's right. I think he's enjoying life and he just has like to have heavy summers and then spend another year having to have a detox afterwards. But I think that, you know, when it comes to Joe, I'm looking at left back because we simply don't have a left back replacement for Joe Bryan. Maxime Le Marchand isn't a left back. He's, if anything, a centre back. So I don't know. I'm not looking anywhere in particular. So I'd say left back. I think centre mid seems all right. Maybe a backup winger, because at the moment our only attacking option on the bench seems to be like Abubakar Kamara. So
what's wrong with that?
I mean, there's everything wrong with that, mate.
So
yeah, maybe a wide player and a left back. That's the only really areas I'm looking to improve. I think right back solid. You know, centre back's got, there's some decent backup options.
Well, you've got Nissan Cabano as well.
Yeah, but he's not in the option. So Cop Parker needs to pick a player he likes. But I love seeing Nissan play every game. But it's not happening at the moment. So
yeah, so there's two backup wingers right there. So you know. Dom knows nothing, basically.
I love it when you two, we always get to a certain point in the show where you two start going head to head, and again it normally happens in this section, and I'm going to say I absolutely love it. You just love to see it. The next question is from Christian. He says, this is not related to our on the pitch dealings, but would you consider switching seats from the Hammy End to the new Riverside stand once it's built? I do love the Hammy End for atmosphere, but do you reckon we could have another stand to rival the noise in the Hammy End?
Yes, but it's not going to be the Riverside stand. So
it's going to be the away end.
Yeah. I think the Riverside, as much, because personally I didn't think it needed to be redeveloped. So I think it's definitely a commercial venture. So I don't think so. I mean, my dad sat in the original Riverside stand. I sat there for a bit, but no, I don't think it will be like an atmosphere related stand. I think it's just going to be one of those stands that looks really cool in the ground, you know, on the Riverside Walk. But I don't think it's going to be there to rival the atmosphere. I think that if anything, the only place that could rival the atmosphere is you've turned the other half of the Putney End into an actual home end, and that's where people would be in a trait crying a bit of atmosphere and a bit of banter between the home and the away fans. But it ain't going to be the Riverside stand, I can tell you that.
I agree. I think that's an interesting point about making the Putney End more of like a atmospheric kind of, you know, area of the grounds, because I believe we've had consultation on like safe standing and
that was the only stand that was made safe standing. I think a lot of people in Hammersmith would move there.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said for having like good vocal support on both ends.
Yeah,
I remember Wagner at Huddersfield. He did the first thing he did was they moved all their home fans next to the away ends, and that was great. Like, it created a bit of banter between the two fans as well, and it felt like they were properly, you know, well supported at every game. I know Huddersfield, I do rate Huddersfield fans in general.
Chelsea moved the away fans when Mourinho was there, wasn't it? That was when it changed at Stamford Bridge. It was because of Mourinho.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to be on the side, then they moved them into the shed. So, yeah,
that was because they were too close to Mourinho.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm. And exactly, the point is that, I mean, Chelsea fans were annoyed at that because, you know, the Shed used to be like another one of their main home ends.
Yeah.
And so, but yeah, no, I think that is a good point. If we're going to make somewhere safe standing, you could just make the entirety of the Putney End safe standing and that's it. And then that would entice the sort of vocal fans and Hammersmith fans to move there. I think that's the problem. You're going to say, oh, it'd be good to put them next to the away fans, but I think it's going to be hard to move, you know, all these fans. Why would they want to move stand? They've been standing there for years. So I think if you were to make it safe standing in the Putney End and the Putney End only, then I think that would be the only way I can see, you know, the fans getting enticed to moving stands.
I always liked it a few times in the Europa League when they put them in the
Johnny Haynes,
yeah. I thought that was really like a nice place. They were out of the way. They were making lots of noise, especially because they were like away European fans, like bringing all their flares and whatever. And it kind of like made it, you know, where you had proper support on all four sides. And I really like that. I wonder why that came in the first place. I wonder why they stopped doing it.
Well, the next question is from Richard Bamber. He says, why do you suppose Mitro gets the captain's ban when TC is subbed? Personally, I don't see strikers as captains. Why not Ream or Mawson?
I agree with him on the striker front. I don't think a striker should be captain. I just don't think it's right. I don't know they can lead by example from the beginning of the pitch. I just don't see it. For me, it's always a centre back or a centre midfielder. That's the only position I see a captain. I don't think a winger can be a captain. I think it needs to be someone in the centre of park who can see the entire game and, you know, dictate his players. Because yes, a striker you say can lead from example. I guess you could say Harry Kane for England, but for me, England's captain should still be Jordan Henderson because he's, you know, our best central midfielder there. So, I understand why he's given it to Mitrovic. He's probably not our most senior player, but one of the players who's been around the most times. You couldn't exactly give it to Stefan Johansson because he's a bit too, you know, of a nut job sometimes. So I think, I understand why he's getting to Mitrovic, but I do agree with Richard that I don't really like strikers being captains.
Yeah, I guess I'm a bit kind of meh on the whole like captains idea anyway. Obviously, the biggest, example that always get thrown back at Dom is like Casillas was captain of Spain and they won 3 major tournaments in a row, you know. And
yeah, but he didn't win 3 major tournaments because he was captain.
Well, but he was their captain when that happened. He was their leader, you know.
Which
and,
for
and,
me, I don't understand why it wasn't someone like Carlos Puyol or Gerard Piqué. But
well, maybe it's good to have lots of leaders all over the pitch, you know. And
that sounds like a really generic manager comment. That is Unai Emery all over the shop.
Five captain Unai Emery.
Why not?
Well, he's made Xhaka permanent captain now.
Down to the players.
I'm not really either for or against it, to be honest. I think it's very predictable when you just give your best player the captain's armband. Mm. And if Mitrovic is the best player, then that's fine with me. I don't care.
The next question, Ian Hepburn, do you feel Johansson's importance and contribution at this level is undervalued by many supporters? And if so, why do you think that is?
I think it's probably due to... I think he actually has got technical qualities, but I think his qualities that are most effective in this side are his work rate and, you know, him getting up and down the pitch and, you know, providing the legs off the ball. And he's, you know, he's Pep Guardiola would love him because he loves a good professional foul. So I think that, you know, I don't think he's undervalued. I think people undervalue what he offers. People look at his actual technical quality and like, oh, he's not amazing like Tom Kearney is. But I think what he offers allows Tom Kearney to do what he does. I think his running up and down the pitch, his, you know, tactical fouling allows us to play the way we do, and I think that's what people underrate the most.
Yeah, as we said earlier, Johansson's come into a bit of form this season after a poor first half of last season, and then obviously he was on loan at West Brom, and I think he actually had quite a mixed time at West Brom. I don't really know how he did there, because I think he started one of the playoff semis and then didn't start the other, or so it'd be interesting to see if he can continue this form. And as a man, as Dom said, he loves a professional foul, and you love to see that.
Well, I've eased you in because it's going to get a little bit deep on the Fulham fan show now. Serious questions, you know. People may watch the one show and think that's where it gets serious. I say no. I say it's the Fulham fan show on a Wednesday night, 9 till 10. This is very serious. This next question is from Will. Who would win in a fun war, Mitrovic or Kamara?
Mitro.
If it's a fair fun war. Mm. I say Mitrovic, but you know Kamara doesn't like things fair, so he probably tried to cheat. I mean, he tried cheating last night.
It matters about nutrition, the camp. You know, have they good sparring partners? Who have they brought in for this fun war? So you both got Mitrovic.
You got about Mitro in any kind of
physical
fight,
contest. Yeah.
There you have it.
Well, you signed with Kamara here, Charlie, mate. Or
I like an upset. I like the underdog. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Especially,
you know,
in a fun war. I mean,
in a fun war, always the way. Well, not in a fun war, but a football war tonight. It was Charlton and Swansea, and Charlton have lost against Swansea. They were 1-0 up, but they've been beaten at the Valley. Swansea have come back 2-1, and that is important because Fulham play them next. It is a London clash on the weekend, and next we will be doing the opposition preview. We'll be talking to Nathan Muller from Charlton Live.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts and Guy Barlow. Now we turn our attentions to the weekend because it is a London clash, Fulham against Charlton. Charlton, before tonight, on a good bit of run of form, beating Leeds. We know what Leeds bring to the Championship. Well, they lost to Swansea. They were looking for beating that second team. They did go 1-0 up very early on. Sometimes not always the best to go 1-0 up so early because you have to hold on for the rest of the game. Swansea come out fighting. They get the result of the Valley 2-1. It is still a big game. Lee Bowyer will have his side up for it. They normally bounce back when they get a bad result. We talk to Charlton every Thursday on Love Sport Radio, 9 till 10. What do you make of this one before the weekend, before it's played, Guy?
I guess personally, I've got quite a soft spot for Charlton. Like, I'm from South East London. A lot of my mates are Charlton fans.
Okay.
And so I'm really happy they're back in the Championship, especially like, you know, the horror show of an owner they've still got. And you know, I was reading about Lee Bowyer and heard an interview with Johnny Jackson, and like those two, you know, or Johnny Jackson being the assistant manager, those two seem like they're running the place really well, like in really tough circumstances. And again, last week, in terms of actually on the football pitch, you know, they tactically were brilliant against Leeds. You know, they did really well to get that goal, bit fortunate from a set piece, and then hold on against, you know, one of the most tactically astute teams in the in division. So I think they'll be absolutely fine in terms of relegation. I do think their position is a bit false at the moment, but I think even they would admit that, you know. So I'm really excited to see them. I know that there's going to be a big old cruise down the Thames from Charlton to Fulham in the morning, so I'm sure there'll be quite a few rowdy Charlton fans around. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the game.
Well, you mentioned this one, you know, that they are tactically aware. You know, they got that result against Leeds. They would have watched Fulham. Lebo, you will certainly have them up for it. You know, they'll feel like they've done a number on Leeds. They'll do a number on Fulham. And Lebo, you does get these type of results. You know, he's working on a one-year contract. They haven't given him much security and stability. Is there a concern? Not a concern that, you know, Charlton are coming in here. They'll do just as good, Dom?
Yeah, I think we have to be not worried about Charlton as such, but be aware of what they can do.
Respect them.
Yeah, respect them. Don't take them as, you know, relegation fodder, because they're clearly not. They're at the top of the league after, you know, 2 months of the season, 10 or 11 games. So they're not to be messed with here. They're a very good side. And, you know, Lee Bowyer, for all the circumstances he's under with Roland du Châtelet, that he's doing an absolutely exceptional job. And even if they stay up this season, I still think he deserves manager of the season. So I think that, you know, we've got to be careful. And I think the important thing for us, from a Fulham perspective, is an early goal. I think if it goes into half-time 0-0, we're going to find it tough to break them down in that second half, because I feel like they're going to grow into the game even more. If we score, I think that's what I said about last night's game, that because the way Reading set up, that we needed that early goal to put the game, not the game to bed as such, but give us a springboard to build on from that. And I think that's what we need against Charlton.
To chase the game.
Yeah, we don't want to be chasing the game. We've seen that, you know, when Forest have lead after 5 minutes. If they don't score that goal from Lewis Graben, I think we win that game 2-0. So I think, yeah, and I know it's so you can say this in every game, an early goal is crucial, but in this game, I really think it is. You know, the game on Sky Sports, you know, everyone's going to be very interested to see how Charlton fare against a team like Fulham. Obviously, they played Leeds last week, but obviously this game's on TV, so they're going to need to watch the whole 90 minutes. And I think Charlton are going to cause us problems, but I think we do have enough to win this game. And, you know, if you are going to get top two, or even top six, this is the game you should be winning. You know, the bread and butter home games. I know it's against Charlton. You've had a very good start to the season. I know we lost tonight against Swansea, but, you know, these are the games you really have to be winning.
You have to be winning. Maybe Charlton won't say that, but they do play each other on the weekend, and it is on Sky. It's the early kickoff. That's took my homework done already. I can tick that box. But Charlton will be up for this one. You mentioned there the manager of the season, the job Lee Bowyer's done. You mentioned that if you don't break them down early, Fulham, or Charlton get that early goal like Forest did, are you worried what happens when Fulham go behind? Because we're so used to them having a possession, taking the lead. Is there still a concern or a question mark hanging over the team when they go down?
Yeah, I think maybe historically in the past, I say historically in the past few seasons, we probably haven't done that well when we've gone behind. We're not one of those teams.
I mean, that was most games last season.
Yeah, but and indeed there was a stat like about we went ahead a lot, but we also when we went behind, I think we only came back to win once, and that's what you.
And both games we've conceded first season we've lost.
Yes, so that's obviously a bad stat, but I know this might be, you know, jumping the gun a bit, but knowing what Scott Parker was like as a player, you know, there was talk of him giving team talks and at Fulham and at West Ham, you'd think he'd be very good at like lifting a team, especially as a manager now that he has even a higher position of authority. So I do think, especially with the way we play, we can wear these teams down. I think we have been unlucky in the games we've gone behind. And subsequently lost, but it's not that we're not going to win if we don't score first. Like, there will be a time this season when we go behind and win, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think one of the main things for us, if I'm looking at the Charlton side, is there isn't too many creative players in there. So I think if we not just control the midfield, but win the midfield battles, I think that's important.
They might argue differently there, though, I would think. They've got Conor Gallagher on loan from Chelsea, Williams, you know, they seem to be creating a chance.
Yeah,
they're not scoring it. Lyle Taylor does a lot for them. He's out injured at the minute.
Right, but what I'll say to you is think about Leeds midfield, think about Swansea's midfield, think about our midfield, think about West Brom's midfield. Do these players get in those midfields? Probably not.
No, but that doesn't mean that they still don't create. And look, Leeds and Swansea, I know Swansea won tonight, but Leeds didn't do
for
nothing.
For me, I don't. They've won games. I look at the Brentford game. I look at the Leeds game. They weren't creating, you know, 10, 15 chances in the game like a top two team like us, Leeds, West Brom. You know, the teams who we expected at the beginning of the season are creating. Albeit if West Brom had, because if West Brom had a striker, they'd probably be top of the table by now. I mean, I know they've got Charlie Austin, but I mean, a goal, if still had Dwight Gale in the team, they'd probably be top of the table, I'm being perfectly honest. So I think, I'm not saying that they don't have any creative midfielders, but compare it to what we've got in the likes of Arsenal, the likes of Kearney, Reid, Johansson, Kearney. I just feel like if we win the midfield battle, that's where we'll win the game.
And also, if we win the set-piece battle, because I think their goal against Leeds came from a set piece. We were watching bits of the game tonight, and it seemed like quite a few of their chances came from set pieces. So I think that's something we might be vulnerable at. I feel like we've been vulnerable from set pieces for about a decade, to be honest. So
we started supporting Fulham, basically.
So terrible
at scoring from them, and terrible at conceding from them as well.
Well, Dom, you mentioned that maybe they don't have much in terms of creativity. What is the one area that does concern you about Charlton, where you go, we have to be on the ball here?
It's not a certain position of the field. I think they are so clinical. Mm. I think if they get that chance...
Well, like you say, if they're not creating, but they're winning these games.
Yeah. I'm saying when they get the chances, they often score the goals. A bit like, you know, Bayern Munich last night. They only had like 8 shots on target and scored 7 goals or something crazy like
that.
Yeah, something ridiculous like that.
Unbelievable.
And so I think that's what...
XG.
I think that's what you get with Charlton. I think that, you know, although they're not going to create these, you know, 8 shots on target a game, when they only create 2 or 3, but they're mostly going to score 1 or 2 of them. So I think that's the main thing you've got to watch out for, is you respect them, but you don't give them the respect that they have. You give them time on the ball to create those chances. I think the defence, and especially Hunter, are going to need to be on key to make sure they don't even get those chances. Make sure, a bit like the wing game, where we're creating everything and we're limiting them. I think the best way for us to go about this game is actually playing our game, and because we know if both teams have their best day, we're winning the game.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. And I said, who do maybe you not fear in Charlton, but an area that concerns you? And I want to ask you, Guy, you know, because teams have struggled to break them down. We've seen it, Leeds, you know, Stoke, Blackburn. They've had some big results, Charlton, this season, maybe to surprise a few people. What do Fulham need to do? I know play their own game, but one area they really need to kick on to break that Charlton team down.
I think Dom spoke about it a bit earlier about moving the ball a bit quicker. Not being pedestrian, and I think we're morphing to one of those teams who's like maybe slightly better away from home, in that, yes, teams back off us away from home as well. Like in terms of possession, we're never like have
a team to have less than 50.
Yeah, exactly.
When we play Swansea and Leeds, it is going to be interesting to see what the possession stats are going to be, because both teams seem to want to have 70% possession each game. So it is going to be interesting. But yeah, I think you've got a point. If the other teams at home, they're going to need to come onto you a bit more, because they're the home side and their fans are going to expect that. Whereas Charlton, going into the game on Saturday, aren't going to expect them to attack us, are they?
Well, and also, I think getting crosses in early, like we saw Mitro's goal last night, cross from Knockhart, cut inside, great area, tapping, and again, like Joe Bryan down the left, who I thought actually had a very, very good game and probably should be...
I've been really impressed with him so far this season.
For his performances so far this season. He again, like probably one of those in that bracket, very good in the championship. Yeah. Got his first goal the other night against Wigan as well.
I don't want to say hero, but he's not one that if you would reel off 5 players, you might not mention him, but you should.
Yeah, well, as in like he's solid. He's one of those 7, 8 out of 10 every week so far, which is exactly what you want. So get those crosses in, because Joe Bryan is a fantastic cross of the ball. Knockout's a fantastic cross of the ball. I know when Bobby Reid is maybe not known for that, but Cavalera is decent. So yeah, early, move it quicker, move it wide, early crosses.
I think what you make point about crosses is, you know, when you say cross, everyone says, oh, lumping the ball into the box. How many goals did Man City score from crosses? If you think about it, the amount of times they get the ball down and I whip it back in and it just
hits.
They have
De Bruyne, though, who's unbelievable
But if you look at the goal, we scored 2 goals from crosses yesterday. And it's not people lumping the ball into the box. It's some whipping the ball fairly low into the right area. And that's where Mitrovic is going to be crucial. You know, even Kearney got one yesterday. So, you know, Joe Bryan running down to the line, cutting it back. And then Kearney's got the ball, you know, Knockhart putting the ball, or whipping a great ball in, putting it in the danger area. And all Mitch needed was a touch and it was going to go in. So I think it is about crossing, but don't assume that means you're lumping the ball into the box. It's putting the ball low and hard, whipping it into the right area.
Well, it is time. It is score prediction on the weekend. Yes, you won last night. Charlton lost tonight. Not sure if that's changed it. Don, what's your score prediction for the weekend?
I'm going to go with not a comfortable, but an edgy 2-0 win.
Edgy? It's a clean sheet. It's 2 goals, 3 points. I don't know how edgy that is. Maybe in terms of gameplay. Guy, what are you saying?
I think we're riding high. 2 or 3-0.
2 or 3-0, a clean sheet for both. I know Fulham will take that. After 3 successive draws, they're predicting 3 successive wins. They will take that 6-game streak, that's for sure. Don wanted 9 out of 9. Maybe he will get it. Fulham take on Charlton this weekend in a London clash. Well, you can join the Fulham Fan Show next week at the same time, 9 to 10 on Love Sport Radio, so we can talk all about it.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.